Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Merkel Media.
Driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel, and my dad, who's in these interviews, his name is Brian Merkel, but he's not here right now because we forgot to record the intro and outro for this episode. So I could take shots at him since he's not here to defend himself, but I won't do that because I love the guy. So let's get down to the business. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Now, we have a cool new feature to offer listeners of Hammer Lane Legends. That is, we're doing a voicemail service now. So if you have a story that you want to share with us or a thought you want to share with us, but it's not really show worthy and you don't want to schedule a time to talk to us because it's only going to be like 5-10 minutes, the voicemail service is there for you. All you got to do is call 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, 515-585-MERK or 6375. That line will take you to our voicemail service, and you'll have 15 minutes to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about, and we'll get that voicemail, and we can play it on the show to help you get your voice out there, even though you may not want to schedule a time to talk to us. I think it's going to be a cool feature. Hopefully, you guys enjoy it, and please take advantage of calling us on the voicemail line to leave us your legends from the Hammer Lane. Now, we have a great show coming up. We have two interviews for you this week. We have Hal coming up first, and then we have Bunny. Hal saw a dead body on the road. He gets into that. And Bunny actually is somebody who we came across in an article where there was a whole article written about her trucking across America as a woman during coronavirus and her talking about her lifestyle and how she had to survive in the truck, which basically is 24/7 because the truck is her home to begin with. So imagine that, being out there, not being able to get food like you used to, and living in your home like normal, only not having the supplies you normally have. She gets into it. She talks to us about her experiences. Let's get to it right now. All right, today we got Hal on the show. Hal, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm telling you, man, I can't get anything right when I'm talking to you. Your name is one of those things I can't get right. I'm calling you Hal, and then I'm like, Hal, how you doing?
That's okay. That's okay, Tiny. I understand.
Tiny Tony.
That's awesome.
Hey, whose side are you on, old man? Come on now.
Everybody else's.
Jeez. Anyways, Hal, how you doing, man? You doing good?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
Awesome.
Just out here trying to make a couple of dollars, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, man. So listen, you contacted us with an odd experience from when you were driving truck. Now, you don't drive truck anymore. How long were you driving truck again?
I was a month shy of 15 years.
Okay. And then you got out of the industry. What kind of industry were you driving in?
I drove for Coca-Cola for the vast majority of that. Probably 14 and a half years of that. And then I drove for the lumber mill.
Well, if you drove for Coca-Cola, now I know why you're out of truck driving. Those guys work hard.
Yeah, that's hard work, man.
So you're driving truck and you have a weird experience. Why don't you just talk to us about it?
Well, when I emailed you originally, I thought I don't really have a lot to talk about, so I'll just send this little story to you. And then contacted me back. And I told my wife, I said, I don't really have a lot to talk about. And she started saying, well, what about this time? What about that time? And what about this time? And turns out I actually have quite a few stories to talk about. The original one I emailed you about was I was driving a drive-in for a lumber yard hauling residuals, sawdust, wood chips, whatever, in and out of paper mills. And it was about 3:30 in the morning, and I was heading down the highway, and I looked over, just a little two-lane highway. It was dark, wasn't many cars out, just mostly trucks, you know, lumber, log trucks and whatnot. And I looked over to the left, and I saw something piled up in the middle of the road. And as I got closer to it, I realized it was a body. And it kind of freaked me out, to be honest with you. I mean, it was laying right in the middle of the opposite lane, just piled up. So called the cops or 911 and let them know what's happening. So then I start hitting all the other drivers on the radio, and no one was responding, and I'm just passing them. And then I realized that my channel had somehow or another got changed, and I was on the wrong station, so that's why nobody could hear me. But I went
home.
That
does make it difficult.
Yeah, it was a mess.
I've done that myself. Trust me.
So, and actually that work driving that truck was the only time I ever had a radio. The other in my Coke trucks, we didn't have radios, but, anyways, so I go and check in and dump my load there, the paper mill. And about an hour later, I'm coming back. Nobody, no cops, no caution tape, nothing. There was nothing there. And I didn't know what to think. So I called the 911 again, and the lady wouldn't give me any answer. She wouldn't tell me anything. So I just kind of let it go. Didn't think anything of it. About 2 weeks later, I was coming down that same road, and I got stopped for a DOT inspection. And I asked the sheriff about it. And turns out there's old meth head that lives right in that area. And apparently he just stumbles out the road all the time and lays down and goes to sleep, and people just have to wake him up and get him out of the road.
Wow.
Yeah, what I had no life. Idea. But that was a really weird experience, you know.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, so this guy just wanders out in the street and just lays down and take a little nighttime nappy poo.
I guess so. Or passes out one, something.
Unbelievable. It's I think it's funny that actually the local police know about this guy. And it's like, oh yeah, that's Ricky. You know, yeah, he just wanders
like
out.
Otis, huh?
Yeah.
Of Andy Griffith show or something.
Yes, sir.
It's sad, really, but it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're offended that I'm laughing at the story, it's probably not a good show for you to listen to, because
exactly.
I laugh at a lot
exactly.
worse. So, but no, it's interesting because locals and stuff, they, you know, get to familiar with the people around and stuff. And, you know, it seems like every local community has that one guy that just is like, you know, does his own little thing. And everybody's like, this guy's weird, but we're not going to do anything because we don't want to catch what he has. You know what I mean? So
yeah, just pick him up and roll him over on the side of the road or put him in his yard or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just kick him into the ditch a little bit. He's out of the way that way.
Yeah. I was really afraid somebody was going to run him over, but. Yeah. Fortunately, that didn't happen, but
well, that's
but
good.
Yeah, most of my I had a lot of experiences working at Coke. I mean, when I first started there, we was I was filling Coke machines, and you wouldn't, I guess you may think it, but these kids in those schools are just terrors, man. Especially the middle schools, they tried you every day, and eventually, I got to the point where they laughed with me, and I would pick on them and make fun of them. But you know, like the little guy that did the snacks, he looked like a, remember Mr. Magoo cartoon?
Yeah,
that's what this guy looked like, and he would turn beet red with those kids. They would aggravate him, and you just had to let them know real quick. You know, I'm not a punk, and you're not going to treat me like a punk, and after that, everything was kind of cool, but that was always fun. I didn't get too many odd things with that, those situations, but I do have some other stories when I got on the truck driving side load trucks, like you see at gas stations and stuff.
Yeah.
I there's one particular gas station in a little town called Fairview. It's on Highway 98 that runs out of Mobile into Mississippi through Hattiesburg. And it's weird. Most of my stories all happen right in that area. There again, it's one of those areas where you might see a meth head laying on the street. But I was in the store one morning, and I was pulling my buggy, and the wheel caught a rack that had pastries on it, and it knocked it over. This was 5:30 in the morning. So I'm thinking, man, what a way to start my day. So I squat down and I'm picking these things up. And I see somebody squat down beside me, and this is a lady. She said, I'm sorry, baby, you're having a bad day. I said, yeah. She goes, I've had a bad day too. And I looked up at her. This woman was squatting down next to me with a skirt on and didn't have a lick of underwear on.
Oh, my God.
And she
wow,
was,
good
she
morning.
Looked like, yeah, yeah. She looked like she fell out the ugly tree, you know. I mean, this poor woman, she was wrecked. But she said, I got raped twice last night. And I was like, what? What are you talking? And I just, ma'am, I got this, you know. She got up, walked off, and the cashier told me, she said, that woman's stupid. She sleeps on our front porch waiting for us to open so she can buy beer. I thought, man, these people, they're some strange folks out here, you know. But I actually was sitting in that parking lot one morning around Thanksgiving, and it was early. I was waiting for them to open. It was about 4:45, and my family were in the mountains for Thanksgiving. I had to stay there and work. And right past the gas station is a red light, and this little stretch of road they call Bloody 98 because there's all kind of wrecks on it. And I was sitting there talking to my salesman on the phone. And I see a truck come out of the side road, look like an F-150 or whatever, pulled up to the top of the hill at the red light and stopped. And I'm talking, and I look, and I see him. He's easing through the red light like he was reaching for something on the ground. And I looked up, and a semi-truck was coming down the highway beside me because I was parked still. He had the green light, and that guy never stopped. He just rolled right out in the middle of the road. He killed him, hit that guy and killed him, pushed him all the way across the highway. And I was sitting there watching it, and all I could do was just scream. It was a it was a terrifying experience for sure.
Holy cow, you got that right. Wow.
It turns out it was one of my customers' boyfriends or fiance, I can't remember. But that was rough watching that happen right there. And it was weird because I had no one to talk to because all my family was, they were out of town. And that was strange.
Yeah, that is really, and you know what, it's a difficult thing to walk through when you see something like that happening. It's like, and everything slows down. Everything goes into slow motion and you see it.
It does.
You know it's coming, and yet you did nothing you can do about it. That's such a shame. It is such a shame to see stuff like that happen.
Well, the rest of my stories are kind of, I'm going to say this next story is going to kind of go even darker than that, but I'm gonna turn it around with some not so deep, tragic stories in the end. But I actually, on that same road, on up a little further into a little town called Wilmer, I was heading in one morning to enter that area. It was about 7 o'clock. It was cold. I remember it was cold. It was January, sometime like that. And it was a two-lane highway, a lot of traffic out, school time. And I'm just a lot of traffic behind me. I'm just riding. And I look up and a guy's coming over a hill. And when I say he didn't drift in my lane, he got about 40 yards from me and just dove into my lane. And I was running 45, 50 speed limit, whatever that was at the time. And all I had time to do was jackknife my truck. And when I did, he hit the bulkhead of my trailer. And I went off in the ditch. I was still loaded down with drinks. I go off in the ditch and have time to cut it back to the left again and just come to a stop. And I'm jackknife looking across the highway. And I look back and that car was on my white line, just crumpled up. And I'm sitting there and I call my boss. And I'm trying to call my boss and this man comes up to my truck. He says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I'm fine. I'm worried about whoever that is." And the guy says, I'm getting chills talking about this right now. He goes, "Oh, man, he's dead." And I was like, oh. So I start crying like a baby. I call my boss. He didn't believe me. And so then the guy comes back and says, "Hey, man, he's alive." And I wanted to reach up and grab that dude by his shirt and say, "Man, would you stop jerking me around?" I mean, he was just up and down, and the guy wound up dying. And they got him out of there, but multiple people that were behind me, they all came up to me and they told me, they were like, "Man, if you weren't been in front of us, there'd have been multiple casualties on this road." I guess because I was so big, I took the brunt of it and stopped him. But I felt, that was weird too, because I felt bad, but yet I did everything I could for it not to happen, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
And Coke, they sent their, everybody comes out, and I call my wife and tell her, she's getting the kids ready for school. I'm telling her, like, "Baby, look, I've been in a wreck." She's like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, sure. Well, I'll drop the kids off and I'll call you." You know, she's trying to keep it together, not scared of kids. And the guy, they sent investigators out, and Coca-Cola actually stood behind me on that one. I guess because they investigated and realized I did everything I could,
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that they stood by you, because sometimes, it can be rough when something like that goes down.
Yep. It was kind of funny because it was out in the area. I shouldn't say funny. It's not the right word. That wasn't funny. But I lived in the area where this happened, and a lot of the school bus drivers and teachers and all, they knew my wife. They knew my kids from school. So my wife didn't tell anybody when she dropped the kids off to school. When my kids came home, my youngest one, she was little, she's like 5 or 6 at the time. She came in that door, she opened up, she said, "I want to know what happened to my daddy, and I want to know right now." We're like, "What?" Apparently the principal stopped her in the middle of the hall and said, "Hey, baby, I heard your daddy was in a wreck. Hope he's okay." And she didn't, none of them had a clue. But it was funny. She said, "We're family. We don't hide stuff from each other." I was like, "Yes, ma'am."
At 5, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was funny. But yeah, that was quite an experience. I talk about it a little, but I guess this is the first time I really talked about it openly to people I don't know. It kind of gave me chills. That really bothered me a whole lot thinking about it, but there again, like I said, there really wasn't anything I could do about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, there's times that things happen and there's nothing you can do about it. And the nerve-wracking thing about it is being drivers, you know that, you know, when there's an accident involved, a lot of times it's like you feel like they're looking for reasons to put it on you as the driver. You're supposed to be the professional, all that stuff. And it's like, you know, even down to the alcohol consumption, I mean, it's just more strict for drivers. And so I feel like in that kind of situation, I would feel like, how are they going to try pitting this on me? And, you know, I'm glad they didn't, man.
Well, I guess once they investigated and realized I did everything in my power, you know, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot they could say, but I guess that's the only thing I come up with.
Yeah, well, I mean, as long as you're a free man walking, that's good. That's good. So, let me ask you, you mentioned about meth heads a couple times during this interview. And is that a common thing down there or what? Because you mentioned it a couple of times now.
Well, it depends. I mean, like I'm here in Mobile, and Mobile's kind of, you have, was kind of I think my wife calls it a big little city. Like everybody knows everybody, but it's still a pretty decent sized city, you know, and you have your urban areas and you have your country areas and out in the sticks and places like that. And yeah, there's some, there's a lot of opioid usage going on around here. It's sad, but it's pretty much, you know, if you talk about how crack was introduced to the black community, I mean, it's basically what's happened to the white community. It's the opioids, heroin, all that. It's just taking an effect on the outer area, the country area, I guess you could call it. It's pretty predominant, sad, but it's just how it is, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where once something like that's introduced to a community of people, it often spreads a lot. Whether you're white, black, or whatever, it tends to work that way. And, you know, we can go down the conspiracy rabbit hole of why that works that way, but we all know that, you know, it's a proven fact that the government introduced certain drugs into certain communities over a period of time, and we can all draw conclusions as to why that is.
Oh yeah, I could run down a conspiracy with you real quick for a long time, but we won't do that.
Yeah, we'll say that for a different podcast. So,
I said something this morning while my daughter was sitting next to me, she looked at my wife and said, I want to elbow him in the ribs when he talks about that kind of stuff.
Listen, they gotta take it serious because it's serious stuff out there. It ain't no joke and it ain't no fairy tale either.
No. Yeah, I was out in one of the same a lot of my routes I had. The majority of my routes I had were out away from the plant, out in the country area. It worked out good that way because most of the time the bosses didn't want to drive out there to look at what you were doing. It was too far away from the restaurants and stuff, I guess. But it always worked out pretty good for me. But I was coming down the road one day, another highway, and I was heading from one stop down to another, and I'm just running along two-lane highway, and there's a family. It's on the left side of the road. They're standing there, little baby, little, you know, toddler in diaper standing there, and I see them, and I look on the other side of the road, and there's a dog standing there, and I'm moving on along, and all of a sudden, that dog bolted in front of me. They were calling the dog. That dog bolted in front of me, and I didn't have time to do anything. All I heard was doo 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 doo, and I was like, "Oh man, I ran over these people's dog right in front of them." So I got to the stop, and I called my boss. I said, "Look, man, I just ran over somebody's dog while they were watching." I said, "I don't know what to do, man. If they call, do I need to go back?" He said, "Go back." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "For what?" He said, "All they're going to do is whoop your tail." And I was like, "Well, I guess you got a point." So,
yes,
said,
sir.
Somebody calls, I know. There honestly was nothing I could have done, but I felt bad. But
unfortunately, yeah. In the trucking industry, you know, when things go awry, they really go awry. And you know what I mean? That's just the way it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes it is just, you are a, I don't know what word I'm looking for. Fate is not on your side today, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the way things go. And unfortunately, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot, but there again, this was over a 15-year period. So,
well, you know, that's the thing I find really, really funny. Because a lot of truck drivers think, oh, I don't have any stories. I don't know what to say. I have no idea what I can say. And when you start picking through and you start looking at it, you're like, you know what? I have seen a lot of stuff. I mean, I've been driving for almost 30 years. I've seen a lot of crap. I know I've seen a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's just fun to sit here and talk with you and just listen to the things that you've seen, the things that you've done. I mean, there's just things that, you know, everybody thinks, oh, that's not, you know, that's nothing. No, that's the stories. That's a truck driver's life. And that's what we're trying to get out there. And that's why it's really cool to sit here and talk with you, Hal. And we really do appreciate you coming on with us. What else have you done? What else have you seen?
Well, towards the end of my career at Coke, I was driving 48-foot lift gates, 53-foot box trailers, and delivering to grocery stores, Walmart, places like that. And I left the Walmart one morning. It was early, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I got on I-10, heading up to I-65, just conjunction there here in Mobile. And I look over, and I see somebody walking down the road as I get closer to this guy. This is a big old boy. This guy was tall and round. He was a big guy. Walking down the side of the interstate, just butt naked. All he had on was like a little hat. He was just strolling like he was just going to his neighbor's house.
That's a beautiful sight, huh?
I called the cops and she said, yeah, we've got about 4 of those phone calls so far this morning.
you know what? I'm just glad you got to be glad you weren't the cop that had to go stop him.
Well, that's what I was going to say, man. Nobody probably wanted to go out there because, I mean, nobody wants to fight the naked guy, you know? I mean, I wouldn't.
No, you got that right.
But it was, had some interesting things going, you know, but, mostly it was all pretty good. I always tried to get along with my customers and never really had too many problems. And I was the kind of guy that at some point you were going to like me. I was going to make sure you smiled and laughed. You were going to cut up with me eventually. And, you know, you'd run across people that just were just ornery people, just didn't like life, I guess. And I never failed to have them. I'd eventually break them. I had one lady grocery store. Every time I went in for her to check me in, I'd get on the microphone. I called her Sunshine, and she was far from Sunshine. But I'd get on the microphone, the PA, and I'd call her Sunshine, tell her favorite vendor was there. And eventually, I got her laughing with me. But I always tried to make friends and have fun and enjoy the best I could. Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, you know, you really do. That's just it. You know, that I think that's a good. That's not even I don't want to say it's a secret to life. It's how we should live life. You have to be willing to be happy. And because sometimes life is just not going to be fair. It's not going to be good. It's going to be an ugly day, but you've got to be willing to make it a decent day.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But yeah, that, like I said, I guess if I sat and thought about it, I could come up with some other goofy stuff, but that pretty much was the gist of my experiences, you know, that I sat down and jotted on some paper, and now I'm just, got a new business I've started and trying to make it take off. And in December, I'll have 3 kids in college and just try to move on with, try to get them through and get them raised, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I totally get it. I it's one of those things where when you just sit around and you're just talking, having a beer, all of a sudden, like all these ideas pop in your head of, you know, oh, I remember the time. That's the way it is with a lot of this stuff. But I appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories, man.
Yeah, I absolutely enjoyed it, man. And enjoy listening to your show. My brother and I, we listen to you on the confessionals and we enjoy it. And I actually told him when I answered the phone, I was going to say, yup, but I decided not to do that. I figured I'd wait till the end.
Yeah, it's become a signature. It's become a signature for sure. Before we get out of here, man, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of give your company a shout out. What's the name of your company and how can people contact you?
Yeah, cool. It's called Ultra Wash. It's a exterior cleaning, soft wash type system. I just do power washing houses, fences, concrete, if it doesn't move, I'll hose it down and clean it for you. You know, got a Facebook page and have a website. It's ultrawashmobile.com is the webpage, and just trying to make it happen, man.
Well, Hal, thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing those stories. I really enjoyed it, and I know my dad did as well. Next up, we have Bunny. Bunny, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing well. So me and my dad were actually just reading the article and stuff before we called you again, just kind of freshened up on stuff. You are somebody who, let me actually rewind here and introduce you a little bit better to the audience. I found an article that was written about you driving during the coronavirus. How'd that whole thing play out for you? Now, when I was reading it, it almost sounded like somebody was actually shadowing you while you were working. Were they with you the whole time?
Not physically, but remotely. We went through, like, I had to check in every, all the time, basically. Just like, hey, I'm doing this. I'm walking my dog, having breakfast. Got to the place that I'm delivering, I'm picking up, like, kind of like a diary style check-in with her.
Yeah, so it seemed like you had to kind of write a journal your life, and then send that journal to somebody, huh?
Uh-huh.
I got you, okay. So the title of the article is 3,481 miles on the road with a female truck driver during coronavirus. Me and my dad, we both drive truck, and we're local drivers though. My dad drives line haul at night. I pedal the city in Philadelphia and stuff like that during the day. So our experiences are different than yours, obviously. And even during coronavirus, I was actually laid off. So with you, how was it when you first started driving during coronavirus, as far as like your worries and making sure that you don't catch the virus and things like that? Like, what was the level of, you know, worry for you when this all started happening?
Well, I wasn't too worried at first because I was hopeful that if you'd had it already, you wouldn't get it again. It doesn't seem to be the case, so now I'm nervous again, but I was pretty sure that I had had it, so I wasn't too concerned. The businesses, a lot of the businesses I was delivering to, though, didn't seem really concerned either, and that was troublesome for me. But
okay. Well, how'd you get involved in truck driving?
I've been on the road basically my whole life, through various things. So we lived in a camper when I was a kid behind my dad's work truck. Before I started driving, I had lived in 48 states. So, you know, like, I like going all over and being everywhere and being on the road. And my daughter is finally big enough that I don't have to, you know, supervise her every move. And I was, I heard about a grant through the state to pay for women getting into male-dominated careers. And I was like, I can do that. So I looked it up, and Minnesota had one of those grants, and I applied and got it and took off.
So truck driving wasn't something that you always dreamed of doing, but it's something that kind of crossed your path, and it's like, well, it sounds like something I wouldn't mind trying, and it seems like it's working out for you.
Yeah. Well, I had kind of wanted to do it when my daughter was like around 8, but there wasn't any way that I could, so it kind of just, I really had forgotten that it was something that I was interested in until I heard about the grant. And I was like, oh yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, I got you. I grew up with a dad that's driving truck, and I don't think I ever dreamt about driving truck, but I wound up finding myself in it anyway. So it's just one of those things where I was like, I got my CDL when I was in my early 20s, and
I spent most of my 20s trying to find something else to do with my life. And I eventually got to the point where I was like, I need to make money. And so now I actually drive for the same company as the old man. So full circle.
Right.
So you are, you know, driving over the road during this whole thing. I read that you're vegan. Now,
I
imagine being vegan provides its difficulties with just, you know, generally finding what you want to eat and stuff out in the road generally. But how is that affected during the coronavirus when it was even harder for drivers to get food in general?
Yeah. So the big thing with that, like, you know, I could go into Love's and get a banana and an orange any day of the week, but having anything of substance became a lot more difficult, especially when all the restaurants were shut down. Because believe it or not, it's not that difficult to be vegan on the road, but if nothing's open, you're not getting fed either way. Like Hardee's, Carl's Jr., Burger King, Denny's, White Castle, even, I don't eat there, but they do have vegan options. So you can get like vegan junk food fairly easy. But the thing that was hard for me, I Instacart food to the truck because I live in the truck. So, you know, it's difficult to go grocery shopping, and Instacart is amazing for me. But you couldn't order Instacart the same day. Like if they were even open, like even if the places that you wanted to order from Instacart were open, then it was a 2 or 3 day wait. And I am not in the same spot in 2 days, you know? So, like, you guys, I'm going to starve to death before I get to where I can do a reset.
Yeah, I can understand that for sure. And I never thought about the Instacart angle because I knew you lived in the truck, and I was wondering how you were going to be doing the grocery shop and stuff like that. It sounds like that was definitely hard. I know when I eat dinner in my truck and stuff, sometimes I'll use DoorDash and I'll have, you know, food delivered right to my truck, and it's great. I don't got to worry about finding a spot to fit or anything like that. It's,
wow.
Right.
Hey man, it is what it is. But I actually order food from multiple places at one time. I want this from there, I want that from there, and I have it all come to my truck. It's great.
That's funny.
Oh, modern technology is crazy. You know, I've been driving long enough that we didn't have DoorDash when I started driving. And I, at this point,
right.
But to be honest with you, Bunny, I have, my wife and I have both kind of taken on a plant-based whole food diet. You know, we eat right. That type of diet. And it is, you know, when you stop at places, it is a little more challenging. It, you know, you're going in. Yeah. Like you said, you can get a banana, an apple, an orange or whatever at Sheetz or whatever, you know, whatever truck stop you're at, Love's or whatever. But
yeah,
it's not sustainable, especially for someone like yourself who's out, you know, you're in your truck all the time. So yeah, it is very difficult. And I can imagine this really created a very difficult situation for people who are trying to be healthy and trying to be, and I'm not saying that people who don't eat a vegan or whole food plant-based diet aren't being healthy. I'm just saying that, you know, if you want to eat that way, this did add a level of challenge to it. But I'm glad you were able to actually make, you know, figure out a way to get around. So I'm glad there's things like this, the DoorDash stuff and the cart and all those things that you can do. And that's a good thing. You know, progress is good.
I agree. I would weigh a lot less if it wasn't for that progress.
Yeah. So are you vegan by choice, or is it something that, like, I know sometimes people go vegan because of medical or what?
Well, I have fibromyalgia, and I have a, unfortunately, strong ancestry of, or family history of dementia, and accidentally the veganism has helped manage my fibromyalgia, but it also lowers your risk of developing dementia by 30%.
Yes.
And I'm like, I need every percent that I can get. I don't want to forget my babies.
Yes.
So,
that's one of the things that pushed my wife and myself into doing the vegan type of thing. Heart disease is the big thing in my family, you know, and I wanted to try and avoid that. The older I've gotten, the more I think about it, and the less I like the idea of getting older and not making it past, you know, 59 or 60, like my grandfather. So that's what you know was the impetus behind our doing it, was just, you know, wanting to be healthier and not diminish as quickly, and you know what I mean, just wanted to have a healthier 50s. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, I used to work in home health care. I had about 1,600 clients, give or take, and the amount of preventable diseases and mobility issues that they had just blew me away. I'm like, I can learn from this, or I can become this.
Yes.
And that's what started me on getting more healthy and actually doing the yoga. Can't stand yoga, but I do it because
it's all right. You're doing it.
You know, pick up something off the ground like a grandbaby whenever I get them.
Yes, I know what you mean. We have one, and Tony has one. I have one grandson and a granddaughter on the way, and I want to be. Oh, I know what you mean. I want to be able to do those things and run around with them and have a good time. And my grandfather died when he was 59, so I was like 2, so I never knew my dad's dad. But I don't want that for my grandkids. So that's why, you know, and I'm curious, you know, how has the fibromyalgia affected your driving? I know you said it's kind of the veganism helps to mitigate some of the things with it, but I was just curious, how does it affect you at all as far as your driving goes, or are you able to really maintain a pretty good driving habit for yourself?
I'm pretty good. I'm spoiled in my position. I deliver ATVs for the most part, so I've got a 2-day window to deliver to each location, and I can only deliver while they're open. So I basically have banker's hours as a trucker, which is amazing.
Right.
But that gives me a lot of flexibility. So if I'm having a bad day with the fibro, I can stop and take a nap.
Good.
Most of the time. But when I switch to veganism, cut caffeine, which is a terrible thing. Don't do it.
Yes.
But I cut that out, and then started running again. And now I rarely have flares. I'm in pain constantly, but it's manageable most days.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I imagine the running has helped a little bit with that too. Would that be a correct statement?
Oh man, it's amazing. Like I don't know if I would be able to sit this long if I wasn't running. I don't think I could be driving, because my hips are one of my biggest pain areas, and I couldn't sit for 11 hours, you know?
Right, right.
But then, you know, most people can't run 100 miles either.
Yeah. I used to work out real heavy before I started driving truck. And then shortly after I started driving truck, I hurt my back, because again, I do LTL. So it's a lot of, you know, handling the freight and stuff. And when I hurt my back, it really took me out for about 6 months. I mean, I was, it hurt to bend over. There was days I'd be driving the truck and I'd be on the verge of crying, because it just hurt so bad to stand, to sit, bouncing around. But I was new at the company, and I didn't want to be that guy that went on light duty a few weeks into the job. And so I worked through it all. But by the time my back got to the point where I could actually maneuver fairly okay, and my back's never been the same, I still throw my back out like crazy, I lost all the habits I had of working out, and to this day, I haven't gotten it back. And it's one of those things where I'm actually strongly considering getting back into working out on a regular basis, finding a routine again, and going through the hard process of actually getting that routine to start working out. Because again, we're talking about health here as truck drivers. It's not easy. And so anything that we can do to make sure that we are healthy, we should be doing. So I have a treadmill in my basement.
Absolutely.
I got a treadmill in my basement, and I'm going to be moving that into my garage because we don't park our vehicles in the garage anymore because we both have trucks now. So we're going to turn the garage into kind of like a homemade gym where we have the treadmill and just some weights and stuff. But I'm really looking forward to getting back into working out myself. I probably not going to go vegan like you guys, but
not yet.
But I'll tell you what, I don't drink my calories for the most part. I still drink the coffee, the caffeine like that and stuff. But baby steps.
right.
He did baby steps. Yeah, he did like the part of the article where it said that Lay's and Oreos are vegan. And he was like, Oreos are vegan? I said, they are, yes. It's not healthy. Vegan. So I could eat Oreos. Yeah, you could eat Oreos. It's not a health food, but it is vegan.
Right. But there's little tricks like that help me. Like whenever I'm like, oh, man, but a bacon cheeseburger, you know?
Exactly.
But if I'm like, well, but I can have this, and it's vegan, and even though it's crap food, I can still, like, I can make the conscious decision to stay vegan and still, like, eat the junk.
Yes. Know? Yeah, you can satisfy that little party that's still, because we all have it. We all have those cravings that crave a little bit of junk food right. Every now and then. So I agree with that, and I don't see anything wrong with that, because as your usual lifestyle, you're eating healthy and you're keeping it healthy, you know, most of the time. So once right. in a while when that comes up, you can continue the vegan lifestyle, the whole food. It's not whole food plant based, but it's at least vegan. And so you're in the safety zone, I think. I think that's
right.
That's, you know, it's okay. I think that's fine. And I agree with that.
So, Bunny, you say that you're doing a lot of running and things like that. I read in the article that you are training for a marathon. Is that right?
I'm training for an ultra marathon. I just finished a marathon. Grandma's marathon is based in Duluth. It was virtual this year because of the plague. But I did that, and I'm still going. Like, still got to get, I'm training. My goal race is the Western States Endurance Race. It's commonly referred to as the Western States 100. And it's in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in the last week of June every year. Not this year. They didn't do it this year.
Right,
because.
Right.
Also the plague, but it'll be at least 3 years before I can, if everything opens back up and they start doing races in public again, so that I can qualify for it, it'll be at least 3 years before I'm able to get into it. And then that's on a lottery.
But that's really cool, though. I mean, that's a really good, that's a great goal for yourself to set, you know, to do something like that. That's fantastic. I think that is laudable. I
Most
really do.
Most people say that's crazy, but
no,
I will
think that's
take
cool.
fantastic any day of the week.
You got that right. I think that's really cool. My hat's off to you, because I don't know if I could do 100 miles, but I just think that's fantastic. That is really cool.
I have to do it. It's something that I want. For me, but also there's a level of spite deep down inside that is going to get me across that finish line.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So I used to run a lot too. And one of my dreams of when I was running and doing my training is I always wanted to run a marathon, not an ultra marathon, a marathon. And I thought about doing, you know, like the Boston Marathon, because I'm in the Philadelphia area. You might have said this, but I probably missed it. What is an ultra marathon? Like, what does that mean, ultra marathon?
An ultra marathon is anything past a marathon. Most of them are 50 or 100 miles, but they go up even to 250 miles.
Wow.
So And now that I said that, there's probably one that they're doing that's even longer, but I'm not doing that.
That's crazy. I mean, I've heard of triathlons and things like that, but I didn't know what an ultra marathon was. I hear of these crazy guys that run 100 miles, and it sounds like you're gearing up to be that. I can't imagine. Like, it takes.
I'm that crazy guy.
And I mean that in a fun way, because like I can't imagine the fortitude. Yeah. Cause you've done a marathon. And so getting up to mile 15, you're like, I just want to quit, and you got to make it to 26. And then you're talking about an ultra marathon. I can't imagine.
Do it four more, or do it three more times.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's great.
That is. It's very cool. I think that's really cool. I just do. I would love to run a marathon, just a regular marathon, and much less 100 miles. So yeah, that's, you got to set goals for yourself. You have to do it. And I think that's great for you to push yourself to do something like that. Very cool. Very cool.
So let me ask you this. You have been, doing this training and stuff like that. Where do you go to run? Do you find like natural nature trails, or do you find like a local high school track, or what?
Wherever I am. So, most of the time I stay at truck stops, and I'll pull up Google Satellite and look at the roads nearby. And because I'm a woman, I have to take some safety precautions extra that some people wouldn't have to.
Yeah, but most definitely.
I have my pepper spray. I have a knife that I can open one-handed. And I'll go inside and talk to the women working and ask about the neighborhood, make sure that it's, somewhere that is probably okay to run in. And then I go.
Okay. Yeah.
I had one time in Louisiana, they told me not to run through that neighborhood. So I just did laps in the parking lot, which was incredibly boring, and a lot of truckers are jerks.
Yes. Yes, they can be. I agree.
But I, I got my miles in regardless, because I am determined to finish this race. So, and then one time the ladies told me not to run in this neighborhood, but that there was a high school the other direction, just a really short ways, and they had a big, nice track. And so I did do that one time, and they made me promise, because it was almost dark, they made me promise that I would stop back in the store and let them know that I got back okay.
That's good.
It's like, that's right.
Yes.
You gotta look after each other.
You do. You do. I mean, you have to put safety first. I mean, you don't want anything. I don't want to see anything happen to you. I don't want to see anything happen to anybody. And truck drivers can be, a nice way of saying it, they can be a-holes. And, so I can appreciate what you go through. I mean, I have a wife, I have a daughter. I don't want to see anything happen to them. I don't want to see anything happen to anybody. And you should be able to go out there and run and do what you need to do without having to worry about those things. But that's not the world we live in. So I'm glad you take the precautions for yourself. It's important.
Yes. I'm not going down that easy. So
good.
Well, you work out, so you'll be fine. You're fit.
Well, to be honest with you, you can probably outrun most of those trekkers. So
that's what I was about to say. Like, my cardio is infinite. You guys got to catch me first.
Yes.
Yeah, the truckers are like, I got a tuck in my belly. Hang on a second. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you're in the truck a lot by yourself. You're on the road a lot. You're away from home in the sense that the truck literally is your home. When you mentioned that earlier, but that's what you literally mean. You live out of your truck. It's not like you live out of your truck, two or three weeks out of the month. This is your home. So
correct. Yep.
When you're out in the road and you hit your, drive time limit and you got to take the mandatory break and all that stuff, what do you do in that spare time outside of working out?
I sew. Like, I have a sewing machine in my truck.
Cool.
I just made a quilt for my daughter for graduation, and I have made masks for several friends and myself. I do some sculpture. I like to take things and turn them into something else, which is very vague, but, you know, like, I'll take, like, teacups and turn them into jewelry boxes, or silverware into picture frames, or toys into planters.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That's creative, and that's really neat. Whether it's vague or not, I think that's really cool. I do. I honestly think that's a neat thing to do. That's a great way to spend your time. It's creative, and it's doing something. Yeah, it's cool. That's really neat.
I started doing that when I was a kid. I watched, like every other girl my age, I watched Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And when she's walking through the flowers and there's the rocking horse fly and the butterfly, I was like, oh, that's clever. I want to do that to things. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's neat.
I give things identity complexes.
That's neat though.
So you, this material that you use to sculpt with and make things different, do you just pick it up at random places that you see? I mean, are you buying the stuff to change it, or do you find it, you know, sometimes you see just something, you're like on the side of the road, like, you know, I thought I can do something fun with that.
Both. So I have a very bad habit of picking up little pieces of metal that I see and putting them in my pocket. And then I'm like, oh, why do I have 8,000 washers? Well, because they didn't need to go through the washing machine, so I put them in my jar. And then I use those, like, I'll stick them into things, especially that need eyeballs. Because lots of things, they don't know it when they start out in life, but they definitely need eyeballs eventually.
Yes, they do. That's a good point.
And then I love, like, garage sales. So anytime that I'm out and there's like enough shoulder for me to pull over and just peruse through a garage sale real quick, I'll hop out and do that. So I get some fun things. Right now I'm working on, I'm trying to find I need a Ken doll body and a Barbie head.
you sound like you're the kid in Toy Story, Sid, that takes the toys apart and rebuilds them into these freaks.
Yes, I am, but nicely.
You're the nice Sid.
Yes.
I can't believe I remember that kid's name in that movie.
I can't believe you did either.
No, it's impressive.
Just came out, but that's really interesting. That really is. And you know, I'm thinking about like me driving around the areas that I go to. And yeah, I think the hardest problem with that would be finding the shoulder on the road to pull over. I mean, I can't imagine how many times you are driving by like a garage sale or something. You're like, oh, I want to stop, but there's just nowhere to stop with a truck.
Right. Absolutely. That's like most of the time. But I do deliver, you know, because I'm doing ATVs to retailers. And a lot of them are out in rural areas where they, not all the time, but usually will have, at least by intersections, enough shoulder to pull off on. And the houses are usually by an intersection. So I can do that. I also like to stop, you know, the places that are like, okra and cucumbers, $5 a box or whatever.
Amen
on the side of the road.
That. There you go. Places. Yes.
So I read in the article that you mentioned, you were talking about how truckers are considered heroes right now during this whole process. I have the same attitude as you do in that article, where it's nice to be appreciated, but I didn't expect it to last very long. Have you noticed a change in people's attitude towards truckers since the time this article was released to now?
Oh yeah, it's gone back down.
Yep, me too.
Occasionally, last week, there was a little like a homemade stick in the yard sign, like what you would put up for a garage sale. But it said, thank you, truckers, on one. And then the one next to it said free masks. And there were some homemade masks hanging on to it that were in, like, Ziploc baggies attached to it. And so I was like, that's nice, and that's fresh. You know, a lot of the signs have been up for months. But
yeah, the signs have gotten stale, and so has the attitude at times. Yeah. You know, it's the normal. Exactly. You know, you do this long enough, you spend enough time in the truck, you know that is most people's attitude, especially as people start getting back to work and rush hour begins. I mean, when this thing first started, I drive at nighttime, so I drive mm-hmm. into the morning rush. And it was really weird at times, you know, you're driving across Route 80 in Pennsylvania or the Turnpike or whatever. And there was very little traffic. It was almost kind of scary. It was kind of freaky, you know, because you're not used to that as a truck driver. Even in the middle of the night, there's other people and you would see nobody. And rush hour in the morning was like, there was like no problem. It was almost, that was the part that was nice for me was the lack of rush hour in the morning. But now that we're getting back to people getting back to work and things are starting to open up, you know, to some degree, rush hour is beginning to be like rush hour again. And, you know, you got people who want to get off at that exit that they're almost past already and they're in the left-hand lane. So, you know, those things come back to normal. It's just, it's the way it is. And, you know, like both of you, I did not expect this. And honestly, I looked at it like, you know, this is what I do for a living. I'm not a hero. I'm just doing my job. I'm getting a paycheck, and I'm thankful to be working is really what it boiled down to. And I'm sure you felt the same way. It sounds that way to me that you're glad just to continue doing your job and not really seeing it as any kind of heroic type of thing that we're doing, even though you understand, we're delivering masks, we're delivering medical supplies, we're helping out, we're essential. And yet at the same time, I don't feel that because, you know, we're just regular people, you know, we're just doing
it's all in a day's work.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Bunny, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us and just sharing a little bit about your experiences driving through coronavirus and things like that. You're one of the few, like I said in the article. I mean, I think it said of the OTR drivers, 10% of them are women. So, I mean, you're one of the few that are out there. That's a lady out there doing it. And I applaud you for it. Thank you for, you know, coming on and chatting with us and just kind of having a good time conversing.
I just wanted to say something real quick. I really wanted to say this really quick, too, is the nice thing is, that you know, even the company that I work at, it's a regional company where Tony and I are at. And we're starting to see more and more women in the industry. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's important that they understand this is not a job that's just for one gender. You know, that women can do this, too. And it, you know, if you're a good guy out there, you're looking out for the women in the industry to make sure that they're safe. And that's what you need to do. You need to make sure that the women in the industry are safe too. So, you know, my hat's off to you. I applaud you for actually doing a job, you know, for doing this job. I think it's really cool. It's great. It's great. And I'd like to see more of that.
Me too.
Yeah. When I first started at Pitt, Ohio, we had a lady that was working the dock and she drove truck in the military. And she just had the hardest time getting her license, her military license, to transfer over to the civilian. But once she got it, she started rolling in the trailers with us. And, you know, it really, like you said, Dad, it's not a gender specific job. And the ladies do just as good of a job, if not better than the men, because a lot of times ladies are more, you know, detail driven than we are. We're just like goofballs sometimes. And they kind of handle business differently. So we appreciate that as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, most definitely.
I know in my, there's several women that work for my company, but I'm the only one in the deck division. And I caught a little grief for it at first. You know, they're like, oh, there's a girl in deck. There's a girl in deck. And now, you know, I easily do 33,000 miles a quarter. And where they're all doing 28, like,
exactly. And that's great. Yes, exactly. And it's great. It really is great. And I, you know, like I said, I'd like to see more of this. You know, it's a good paying job. It's a rewarding job. And I think it's a job that people, you know, men and women can do, and they can share the road together. And it's a good thing. So anyway, it sounded like, you know, it wasn't trying to you know, go off into any, you know, kind of weird spaces or anything like that. But it's great to, that there's people like you out there, and I appreciate it. I did want to ask you this. When you're driving, you're over the road, so you're in the truck all the time. When you're driving, how do you occupy your mind? What do you do? Like, you listen to podcasts? Do you?
I listen to audiobooks mostly.
Okay, yeah, exactly. I spent my time doing that too. I just find it interesting to see what other people listen to or how they occupy, because it can be a mind numbing job at times when you're just hours on the road. So
when you're in Kansas. audiobooks, and I've got Spotify, so
yeah,
I'm not even gonna pretend to know, like, act like I know how Spotify works. I tell my daughter to make it something that I like, and then she does, and then I just push play.
Yes, there you go. I'm the same way. I'm technically illiterate, so I do what I can. you spend enough time behind the wheel, you figure it out.
Technically, right? Like, I'm not fluent, but I can get by.
Yep, copy that.
But I don't know what it is about Spotify. I can't. My brain does not compute.
Yeah, that's the way it is for me with some of this stuff too. I mean, I know I saw in the article you were talking about the different social media platforms that you stay in touch with your daughter on and stuff, and how she was trying to get you to join TikTok. And I tell you, like, stay away from TikTok. It's the devil. So, but
you know, it's funny. I
finally did download it, but I can't navigate it. I'm like lost.
Yeah.
So I don't. It'll happen, but
that's all right. Though there's enough other ones out, enough other. And it's funny because I was reading the article that they had on you, and it named all these different media platforms. And I looked at Tony, I'm like, what is this? I know my age is showing, but it's okay. You know, I stay in touch on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, but I don't know what some of these things are. So, you know, at least I'm in good company.
That if there's anybody in your life that is on a different time schedule than you are, especially like you do nights.
Yes, everybody in my life is on a different time schedule. That's just the way it is.
Marco Polo is the way to go.
Okay, yeah.
That's not paid for Marco Polo at all. But I wish that they would pay me, because I talk about them all the time. I love Marco Polo. It's like a video text message.
Okay.
So you don't have to be on at the same time, but you still get the benefit of seeing each other's face.
That is really cool. That was one that I was wondering about. I saw that. That's what made me look at Tony. I never even heard of Marco Polo. So that's good to know. I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to get everybody on Marco Polo.
Definitely.
Like, talk to me. And you can use it one-handed. It's just one button.
Cool.
So that qualifies for hands-free use.
Yes, it does.
So on that note, with these apps and stuff, have you ever thought about doing content creation, like starting a YouTube channel and like vlogging your life while you're out on the road? Because in all honesty, you have a unique situation. A lot of drivers, they're out for a few weeks, they go home kind of thing, but you literally are living on the road, and that's not very common. And so I think there's a lot of people who would be interested. I think you could actually, you know, get a decent fan base going on like a YouTube channel where you're documenting your life as a driver out in the road 24/7 and nevertheless a lady.
So I have thought about it. I have no clue how to do it, and I have a lot of energy put into the other things that I'm doing.
Yeah, I understand that.
To, you know, light the fire to get me to figure it out. But my daughter is just like her mother, and she bugs me about it. She keeps telling me that I need to have a YouTube channel and I need to do this. And she's like, and you've got to get on TikTok. And I'm like, kid, I'm not there, but she won't let up. So I probably eventually it will happen, but.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to, and when it does, it will take off, and we'll be watching, you know, just, you know, and
well,
I'm sure there's a lot
happens,
of people that
I will like, send you a link or something.
That would be cool. We would really appreciate that. That would really be cool.
The lingo is to get you the information.
Yeah.
That
I'm there. Just send us the link to your YouTube channel, whatever it starts, and we'll share it on our social media and stuff. But I think it's something that you definitely would be good at, and you would provide a unique look into a truck driver's life that a lot of drivers aren't showing right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, guys.
And if nothing else, I mean, even if you can't figure out, just send us an email that says, hey, I'm on YouTube. We'll look you up. You know, just tell us what the YouTube channel is called. You know, it's not like it's, you know, I don't know how to send links or anything else. I'm technically illiterate. I can do some stuff. I can look stuff up on YouTube, though. I can handle that. So yeah, however that works out, cool.
I'm the tech guy here on the show. So
yeah, I'm just the old man sitting in the other seat. I'm not.
It takes everybody.
Exactly.
It takes everybody.
It does. It does.
All right, Bonnie, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thanks for reaching out. I hope you guys have a good day and stay safe on the road.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. That's the best thing you could do to help the show. It's just to pass it around like a cheap tire buddy. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.